الحمد لله، صلى الله وسلم وبارك على نبيه ومصطفى، ما بعد. حياكم الله معاشر الإخوة والأخوات مع لقاء يتجدد من لقاءات دروس رمضان. Dear brothers and sisters, you are welcome with a new session or a new lesson or a new lecture of the issue of Ramadan. Yesterday we spoke about a couple of the merits and virtues of fasting and Ramadan, and we are still continuing that. The 10th merit is that the fasting during the day or in the summer will conclude or will result drinking in the day of thirsty, which is the day of resurrection. As in the hadith reported by Al-Mundri, by Al-Bazzar, and authenticated by Al-Bani, on the authority of Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu ta'ala anhuma, who said, أن رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم بعث أبا موسى على سرية في البحر. He said that Abu Musa al-Ash'ari sent a group of Mujahideen on a boat in the sea. فبينما هم كذلك, and while they were like on that situation, they began raising the sail in a very dark night. فبينماهم كذلك قد رفعوا الشراع في ليلة مظلمة إذ هاتف فوقهم يهتف, while they hear somebody calling above them, يا أهل السفينة, all people of the ship, كيف أخبركم بقضاء الله بقضاء قضاه الله على نفسه. Stop, let me tell you of something that Allah Ta'ala made obligatory upon himself. فقال أبو موسى, and Abu Musa said, أخبرنا إن كنت مخبرا, tell us if you are going to tell us. قال, that voice said, الله تبارك وتعالى قضى على نفسه أنه من أعطش نفسه له في يوم صائف سقاه يوم العطش. He said that Allah, Almighty said or had made it obligatory upon himself that if a person causes himself thirsty for the sake of Allah, Allah Ta'ala will make him drink in the day of thirstiness, and that is the day of resurrection. And on the 30th of Abu Musa al-Ash'ari radiallahu ta'ala, on about similar hadith, except that in the hadith of Abu Musa, there is an additional statement where Allah Ta'ala, where he said, وَإِنَّ اللَّهَ قَضَى عَلَى نَفْسِهِ, verily Allah has made it obligatory upon himself, أَنَّ مَنْ عَطَّشَ نَفْسَهُ لِلَّهِ بِيَوْمٍ حَارٍ, that the one who make himself in a day, in a very hot day, كان حقا على الله أن يريه أن يرويه يوم القيامة, أن يرويه يوم القيامة. and it be Allah Ta'ala made it up. Abdu'l-Bashir upon himself, that he makes the one who does not drink, meaning fast, during a hot day, to drink on the day of resurrection. And it was said that Abu Musa al-Ash'ari radiallahu ta'ala anhu used to look for the hot day, in which the people may lose their skin for the heat, and then he fasted during it. That is one of the merits of fasting. Another merit of fasting is that لذلك كان أبو موسى الأشعري رضي الله تعالى عنه يتوخى اليوم الشديد الحر الذي يكاد الإنسان ينسلق صبره. وهذه مزية من مزايا الصوم وفضيلة من فضائله. This is a characteristic of صوم of fasting and a merit of it. ويقابل ذلك الصوم في يوم بارد. An opposite of that is fasting during the cold day. كما في الحديث الذي رواه أحمد في مسنده وأبو يعلى في مسنده والبيهقي في السنن الكبرى عن عامر بن مسعود, as in the hadith reported by Imam Ahmad in his Musnad, Abu Ya'la in his Musnad, Bayat in his Sunan al-Kubra, on the topic of Amr ibn Mas'ud. ورواه الطبراني في الأوسط وابن عدي في الكامل والبياقي في شعب الإيمان عن أنس. And it was reported also by الطبراني in his book المعجم الأوسط and ابن عدي in his book الكامل and البيهقي in his book شعب الإيمان. On the authority of Anas ibn Malik. وابن عدي والبيهقي في شعب الإيمان. And ابن عدي as well as البيهقي شعب عن جابر on the authority of جابر رواه ابن أبي شيبة. ابن أبي شيبة reported it والضياء المقدسي عن الضياء المقدسي عن عامر on the authority of عامر رضي الله عنه. وأشار السيوطي إلى حسن عن السيوطي mentioned that it is good حديث وحسنه الألباني عن الباني said it is sound حديث كما في صحيح الجامع عن صحيح الجامع. And this حديث تبوب صلى الله في هذا الحديث يقول الرسول صلى الله عليه وسلم الصوم في الشتاء الغنيمة الباردة. Fasting during the winter is the easy captive to gain. And that's why عمر بن الخطاب رضي الله عنه said fasting the winter is the great captive of the worshippers, as in Musnad Ahmad or as in the book of Az-Zuhd for Imam Ahmad Ibn Abi Shayba Abu Nu'aym fi al-Hulya on the authority of Abu Uthman al-Nadi that Umar ibn Khattab said so, and the chain of narration of this is as authentic as the chain of narration of Sahih Muslim. It's on the condition of Bukhari and Muslim. And Hassan al-Basri said the time, what a great time for a mu'min is the winter. Al-Hassan, Ivan, نعم زمان المؤمن الشتاء ليله طويل يقومه. The night of it is long, so he stands praying in it. ونهاره قصير يصومه. And the day of it is short, so he fasted. وقال قتادة, قتادة said, إن الملائكة تفرح بالشتاء للمؤمن. The angels are pleased when the winter comes for the believer. يقصر النهار فيصومه. The daytime is short, so he fasted. ويطول الليل فيقوم. And the night time is long, so he starts praying. Ibn Rajab al-Hanbali, رحمه الله تعالى, said as in his book, لطائف المعارف, as a quote on the same, that الشتاء ربيع المؤمن, the winter is the spring of the believer. قال لأنه يرتع فيه في مساكين الطعام, because he enjoys and eats and plays in the gardens of worshiping, as people enjoy their time in the gardens. This believer, by fasting, he enjoys the fasting. So this was one of the merits of fasting. Another merit is in the hereafter. As we all know that there are 8 gates for the Jannah. وأما الفضيلة الثانية عشرة فهي فيما أعد للصائمين يوم القيامة. The 12th merit is what has been prepared for the people of fasting on the day of resurrection. And we all know that there are 8 gates for the Jannah. نعلم جميعا أن الجنة لها 8 أبواب. حول 7 أبواب على أقوال. It's either 8 or 7 on some things. من هذه الأبواب, from these gates, باب يقال له الريان. A gate that is called Ar-Rayyan. Al-Rayyan is the person who is not thirsty. قيل عن سائر بن سعد السعدي رضي الله تعالى عنه عن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم عن إن في حديث عند سيرته سعد بن سعد الساعدي رضي الله تعالى عنه عن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم, لدى قول صلى الله عليه وسلم شيء, إن في الجنة بابا يقال له الريان. Verily in the Jannah there is a gate called الريان, يدخل منه الصائمون يوم القيامة. The only the people who are of fasting are going to enter from it on the day of resurrection. لا يدخل منه أحد غيرهم. No one will enter it went to it other than them. And from this hadith we understand that this fasting is the optional fasting, because the obligatory fasting does not have only Ar-Rayyan, it's all the gates are for people of obedience. So the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم continues saying, فَإِذَا دَخَلُوا, so when they enter, open it, and it's closed. فَلَمْ يَدْخُلْ مِنْهُ أَحَدٍ So no one will enter from it other than this. And this hadith is reported by Bukhari, Muslim, Nasa'i, and At-Tirmidhi. In the hadith of Tirmidhi, there is an extra benefit. وَمَنْ دَخَلَ لَمْ يَضْمَ أَبَدًا And who enters it would never feel thirsty. وعند ابن خزيمة رضي الله تعالى رحمه الله تعالى قال صلى الله عليه وسلم للصائمين باب في الجنة يقال له الريان And in the book of Ibn Khuzaymah the Sahih on the authority of the Prophet said For those people of fasting, there is a gate in the Jannah called Ar-Riyan. لا يدخل فيه منه أحد غيرهم. No one will enter through it to the Jannah, anyone other than them. فإذا دخل آخرهم أغلق. And when the last one of their enters, it will be locked then. So this is one of the merits of fasting. It is also a gate to the Jannah, as in the Hadith, reported by Ahmad in his Musnad with a chain of narration which is said to be a bit good and authenticated by Albani in Sahih al-Targhib Volume 1 Hadith 412 the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said One day I laid down the head of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam on my chest and said and he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said من قال لا إله يقول حذيفة أسندت النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم إلى صدري فقال من قال لا إله إلا الله ختم له بها دخل الجنة Whoever says لا إله إلا الله and his life is ended up with it then he will get to the Jannah he will enter the Jannah وَمَنْ صَامَ يَوْمًا اِبْتِغَاءَ وَجْهِ اللَّهِ خُتِمَ لَهُ بِهِ بِهَا دَخَلَ الْجَنَّةِ And whomsoever fast a day for the sake of Allah optional, not obligatory and he dies with it then he will enter the Jannah whether optional or obligatory both وَمَنْ تَصَدَّقَ بِصَدَقَةٍ اِبْتِغَاءَ وَجْهِ اللَّهِ خُتِمَ لَهُ بِهَا دَخَلَ الْجَنَّةِ And whomsoever gives out of the charity and dies, whether while it, while giving it or after, he will get to the Jannah. And from the merit is that the fasting intercede for the one who fasts, as in the Hadith, reported by Imam Ahmad al-Musnad Tabarani in al-Mu'jam al-Kabir Ibn Abi Dunya in his book Al-Ju' Tenderness and others in a good, with a good narration and al-Hakim in his Mustadrak, and he said, meaning al-Hakim said, this hadith is sahih upon the condition of Muslim. And Imam Albani authenticated it in his book Sahih Targhib. This hadith was in the authority of Abdullah ibn Amr ibn As radiallahu anhuma, who said, barely Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, الصيام والقرآن يشفعان للعبد يوم القيامة. Fasting and Quran will intercede for the slave in the day of resurrection. يقول الصيام. Fasting would say, I ربي or my Lord, إني منعته الطعام والشهوة. I have prevented him from food and desire. فشفعني به. So accept my intercession for him. ويقول القرآن, and the Quran says, ربي منعته النوم بالليل. Oh my Lord, I prevented him from sleeping at night. فشفعني به. So accept my intercession for him. قال فيشفعان. He said, so they will intercede. Now, and from the merits of fasting is that there are three, there are subligation for the one who's fasting, his subligation would be accepted once he calls Allah. As in the hadith reported by Al-Uqayli and Abu Afa al-Bayaq in Shu'ab al-Iman, on the authority of Abu Hurairah radiallahu ta'ala anhu, and Ibn Masi, قال ابن عساكر الباني وتنتكرت إت إن صحيح الجامع الرسول صلى الله عليه وسلم there said ثلاث دعوات مستجابات, three calls or obligations are acceptable. دعوة الصائم, the one who is fasting. دعوة المظلوم, the one who is being oppressed. ودعوة المسافر, of the traveler. And the 16th merit is that fasting is a sign for alright, we stop here by the 15th merit number 15, and we continue inshallah tomorrow, Tuesday. May Allah Ta'ala preserve us all and protect us all. Wallahu Ta'ala A'lam. Wa sallallahu wa sallam wa barak ala nabiyyina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. If there is any question, inshallah Ta'ala will take. Otherwise, inshallah we'll see you tomorrow. If any question, you please raise your hand now. All right, Muslim underscore 23, go ahead. Now, when a female needs to repay missed fast due to her menstruational period, can she do so on any day after Eid, or does it have to be on Mondays and Thursdays? No, any day. But if you want to do, for example, Friday, it must not be a single day. It must be gathered with either Thursday or Saturday. And the same with Saturday. You do not fast Saturday alone, but you do fast Saturday and Sunday, or Saturday and Friday. Alhamdulillah. Any other question? Alright. Om Ibrahim, go ahead. جوليس عليكم السلام ورحمة الله وبركاته. نعم go ahead جولي. أم إبراهيم go ahead. When do you do sujood as shukr? Must you have wudu and as a woman be covered? Or the sujood for prostration verse? In regard to sujood sahw, sujood shukr, there is no condition for it. Whenever you get the good news that you want to thank Allah for, then you immediately can do the sujood shukr. You don't need to wait for having wudu, as well as sujood, the tilawa, sujood of recitation of Quran, whenever you pass by a sajda, eye of sajda, then you can do sujood on the condition you are. Wallahu a'lam. Talibatul ilm, or talibatul ilm. Assalamu alaikum. My question is in regard to the concession for the breastfeeding woman and the one who is pregnant. I understood that this is in a case of hardship, just like for the sick and elderly. If a woman cannot produce enough for her child, is she granted the concession due to fasting? As I said yesterday, Abdullah ibn Umar, Abu Huraira, and others said that the woman in pregnancy or breastfeeding is allowed to break fast if they feel tired or not having enough, for example, enough milk or food to feed their babies. They have the right to break their fast. Allah Na'am. Shahaboom. Assalamu alaikum, Sheikh. This is not in relation to the topic. Sorry, but it is permissible. Is it permissible to visit pyramids and the valley, the pyramids and the valley of the kings when visiting Egypt for holidays? Well, it is not the place where Allah Ta'ala torched those people. We are not allowed only to visit the places where Allah Ta'ala sent down His torchment to those disobedient. None. So it is permissible, but it is a waste of time. والله أعلم. نعم go ahead. أم إبراهيم go ahead. When you do the sunnah prayers before and after the fard prayers, are you allowed to do these with others such as my husband, or must they be performed individually? In regard to these sunan, which are called rawatib, I never hear that it is ever done by the Prophet or the companions in congregation, but everyone, you should do it individually. In regard to the recitation, loud or quiet, that is a sunnah, whether in the optional prayers or in the obligatory prayers, it is sunnah. If you do it, you'll be rewarded. If you don't do it, no harm in that. But if you keep doing it other than the way of the sunnah regularly and permanently, then this is a bid'ah. May Allah's peace and blessings be upon the Prophet Jesus alayhi salam. He's one of the prophets that we Muslims do love much. We love them more than our families, more than our children, more than ourselves. Sallallahu alayhi jami'an wa sallam. May Allah's peace and blessing be upon them all. Now, is there any other question? Muslim 23 says, one more question, please. If a female wants to fast optional 6 days of Shawwal, but she also has two fast days she missed due to her menstruation period, what should she do first? Some people say she only has to do either one of them, but not both. What is the sunnah on this? The best thing is to do the missed days fasting and then do the 6 days of Shawwal, because the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, as in the hadith of Ibn Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhuma, he said, من صام رمضان ثم أتبعه بست من شوال, who fast Ramadan and then followed with 6 days of Shawwal, this would equal the fasting of one complete year. But if the woman has delivered her baby in Ramadan, at the beginning of Ramadan, and she was bleeding for the whole month of Ramadan, then she cannot fast the 6 days along with these, the makeup of these days. So what should she do? In this case, she should fast the 6 days Shawwal, and then later on she can do the or make the
the days that she missed during Ramadan. Wallahu a'lam. The second part of her question says, regarding to the hadith, if one fasts the whole month of Ramadan and 6 days of Shawwal. Okay, right. I think we just answered that. Shaboom, go ahead. M in the key says, or M is the key says, Assalamu alaikum. Sheikh, I heard when you visit the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam grave, you give the salam that we all know. I heard you also give the salam to Abu Bakr and Umar, but can they hear our salam too? All the dead people can hear the salam. Not only Abu Bakr and Umar. However, any graveyard you go, you call them saying, Assalamu alaykum, ya ahl al-diyar, as in the hadith of Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha, when the Prophet visited the grave of the graveyard of Al-Baqiyya, and then she asked him, Ya Rasulullah, if I visit the graveyard, what should I say? He told her saying, say, Assalamu alaykum, ya ahl al-diyar. نعم والله أعلم. شابوم says, should we pray the full 20 rak'at تراويح behind the imam if there is not a Salafi masjid near to where I live? First of all, let me correct this. Praying 20 rak'at does not mean that this imam is not Salafi. This is a mistake. Because those who say, or talk about the more than 11 rak'at are Salafis. Do you think that Imam Malik isn't Salafi? Imam Malik said that we found the people of Medina praying 63 rak'at and then 3 witr. So they are Salafi, but these are ijtihadat. Some of the ulama say it is wajib to pray only 11 rak'at and nothing more. And the dalil is the hadith of Aisha رضي الله تعالى عنها, where she said, ما زاد رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم في رمضان ولا في غيره على 11 ركعة. The Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم did not pray more than 11 rak'at, neither in Ramadan nor in other months. But there is a hadith where Ibn Abbas, which says that he saw the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم praying 30 rak'at. And Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah ta'ala, or before that, there are some ulama say it is better, not obligatory, but better to pray 11 rak'ah. But if you are praying behind imam who prays 21 rak'ah, then you pray with him as the way he prays 21 rak'ah. And some others say it is optional and it is open to pray whatsoever number of rak'at you want. And some others say, Aisha radiallahu anha said about the long prayer of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, she said he used to pray a long prayer standing, reciting, a long time bowing, long time prostrating. So they said, if you do like Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, long prayers, then no problem to pray 11 rak'at. But if you do short recitation, short standing, then you pray, more rak'at, yani they say, the more ayah, the more recitation, the less number of rak'at. The less recitation, the more number of rak'at. نعم والله أعلم. عن شيخ الإسلام ابن تيمية رحمه الله تعالى in his book الفتاوى he said that the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم did not limit the number of rak'at of the tarawih. He did not say do not pray more than that. So as يعني we just clarify, if the imam prays 11 rak'at, you pray with him 11 rak'at. If he prays 21 or more, you pray with him, because the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam gave two ahadith, two directions, one to the imam, one to the ma'mum. The one to the imam is what Aisha radiallahu anha said, that he did not he did not do more than 11 rak'at. And the one for the ma'mum is saying sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when he said من قام خلف إمامي حتى ينصرف, who stands behind his imam until the imam finishes and leaves. And here does not mean the imam that you start with if there are more than one imam, but it means until the prayer, whole prayer is finished. كِبَدَهُ قِيَمْ لَيْلَ, I will be given a reward of standing the whole night. نعم والله أعلم, وصلى الله وسلم وبارك على نبينا محمد وعلى رسائل. طيب, last question from أم إبراهيم, go ahead. What are the etiquettes of, if we want to invite a da'i to our country? First of all, let me know where is your country? A checklist of yani inviting a da'i is, first of all, you invite the da'i that you know that can benefit the community. Second, you do not waste the da'i's time with subjects that does not benefit the community, but with what benefits the community. And it is better that you give him in advance before he arrives to your land an idea about the deviations or sins or mistakes that are asylum in the area you live, and to provide him a good hospitality, to give him a good hospitality, no bothering, give him his time to worship, give him his time to prepare for the drus, give him his time to rest. Now, wallahu a'lam. What are the etiquettes of but I just answered the question, as I believe. Okay, we're going to take one question for each person who did not ask a question. So those who already asked questions, please give some time for others, because time is very limited here now, and I need to do more. But Gina says, Al-Huda International House on Pal Talk that teach Tafsir, Fiqh, Tajweed, World for World Translation of the Quran and more. I could not find any information about their manhaj or anything, but I was interested in taking their classes. Do you know anything about them? What would you advise me to do? Wallahi, I do not know nothing about them. Wallahu a'lam. I do not know anything about them. Okay, Al-Jamaiki says, Assalamu alaikum. This is not about the class. It is some issues we have in my city, and we would like to contact the Sheikh. How can we do this, inshallah? You can call, you can do one of two things. You can first of all email me. You can first of all email me, and the email account you contact me with is lmforall@hotmail.com, or you can contact me on my mobile phone, which is 966-5555-33702. حياك الله وفيك بارك الله. طيب أبو حفيظة, last question please. Should our hands be together or apart when making dua? Either one. It happens, yani, regularly it is together, but it happens that the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam in Badr raised his both hands high, separated. And he did that as well in the istisqa, in seeking for rain. And by that we end up our session today. جزاكم الله خير والله أعلم وصلى الله وسلم وبارك على نبينا محمد عليه الصلاة والسلام. وعليكم الله تعالى وبركاته.